Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, you put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor, because you know the bigger the fight, the better the reward. Medela, the mark of the fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, we get things rolling on the Krug Show. Hope everybody's doing well. Cyrus Sotsis in the house. We're going to talk a little bit about tonight's NBA draft. Good to see everybody. Thanks for joining the Krug Show. We're brought to you by Pig in a Pickle. Happy June the 26th. It's 12:16 on the West Coast, 3:16 on the East Coast. Hope everybody's having a phenomenal day. The NBA draft normally would be a one-day draft with two rounds, but they split it up this year. So they go Wednesday night, round one, Tuesday or Thursday night, round two. The Warriors currently are not slated to pick tonight in round one. They are slated to pick tomorrow night in round two, or tomorrow, I should say, in round two, 52nd overall. I believe it's earlier in the day that they have the second round of the draft. But they could be picking today, because there are a number of rumors involving the Warriors. But before we do that, let's tell you that we're brought to you by Pig in a Pickle, the best barbecue in Northern California. Check them out. They're in Emeryville. They're in Corte Madera. They're open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. till 8 p.m. Go say hi to Damon and Mary. Get some brisket. Get some brisket chili. Tell them that Krug sent you. We're also brought to you by Sharp Corner Sports Cards and Collectibles, 205 Cypress Avenue in Pacific Grove, California. Give Anthony Catania a call down there. He's at 831-521-5264. And we're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Check the link in the description and use the promo code Krug, K-R-U-E-G, and they will match you up to your first $100. Cy Sotsis, how are you, man? You're muted.
I what's going on there? It keeps muting. I was going to say, you're not making any money on this show, clearly. Good to see you. Good to see the audience. This is the first of what I hope will be a regular thing. We're dual streaming the golden days. I might have my own sponsors coming up soon here. I know I'm leaving.
Well, let's tell people about where you're at, because you were on Locked On.
Yeah, that's over. Locked is retired, man.
No more Locked On. It's now Cy, Independent Cy. So now you
sort of. I'm a part of the Believe Podcast Network.
Okay,
And I've been with them for a long time.
The
Rick Perry Show.
I've talked to them as well.
You should. It's a good home for a podcast, man. The YouTube side of things is independent, like you are, and so it's like a hybrid kind of thing. But yes, I left Loch. So RIP to that gig, and find me on YouTube, The Golden Days, on all podcast channels. If for any reason you type in Golden Days and it's not showing right up, just add the word Warriors. It'll be the first thing wherever you're searching. So, yeah, I got a new home, but same talent. And I hate calling myself that. Same host, same content. I think it's going to even be better. No more time restrictions. At the moment, I don't have a million commercials. I know Bet Online will be a sponsor of mine in the very near future, replacing FanDuel. Otherwise, Larry, man, it's great to see you. Great to be hosting with you. And let's talk some mother effing Warriors, brother.
Let's do it. So right now, if you go to YouTube, the Krug Show, you can hit like and subscribe. And then we're co-streaming on Cy's channel. So what's the name of the channel again, Cy?
Golden Days.
Golden Days.
Yes, sir.
Maybe we should put that down there on the bottom.
I should have done that for next time. You're right. Next time I'll do that.
Okay, so Golden Days, just Golden Days.
Think of Dazed and Confused, one of the greatest movies ever.
Golden Days.
And just the word golden in front of it. Golden
Days. D-A-Z-E.
Representing the barrier, representing my stoner ass. Absolutely, brother.
Golden Days. Gotcha. Yes. All right. So everybody hit like and subscribe over there as well. Let's talk a little bit about some of the talk that's out there. Last night I read a rumor, and it was weird because it was on Twitter as almost described as like it was a done deal. That the Warriors, this is what the way it read. The Warriors have agreed in principle on a trade to send Chris Paul, Gary Payton II, Kevon Looney in a 2026 first round pick to the Clippers for Paul George.
Who tweeted that? That's very important.
I'm not sure who tweeted it. Okay. You know how like you if you go to your Twitter. If you go to X, let's say, and you go to the search bar, they give you different headlines, stories for you. And it was trending.
Okay. All right. So this is, if it shows up on trending, it doesn't guarantee that the person writing it is a valid, credible individual, but it adds a little more cachet. So give me an example.
Now, it says Warriors eye George in strategic trade. It says the Golden State Warriors are reportedly interested in acquiring Paul George and are prepared to offer him a 4-year max contract extension. The move is part of their strategy to pair another star alongside Steph Curry. The potential trade involves an opt-in and a trade scenario with discussions involving Chris Paul and Andrew Wiggins as possible trade pieces. The Warriors' interest in George is seen as a significant development for the team, with fans and analysts expressing optimism about the potential impact on the team going forward. So, yeah, they say the Bleacher Report has tweeted out that the Warriors are prepared, according to Windy, to offer Paul George a 4-year max contract via opt-in and trade.
Ooh, I love it.
So what do you think?
If that to me, the Clippers, that's not enough to get Paul George. Like if you're L.A. and I know Jerry West, rest in peace, he's no longer, they don't have his input anymore, which is a big deal. I mean, the dude knew basketball, he knew personnel. So maybe their decision making is going to start to decline in quality, but I would sign up in a second for that trade if I'm the Warriors. But I don't think the Clippers are going to bite on that. I think you got to throw in more. If that trade is true, hallelujah! Let's celebrate, man. The Warriors have a roster that can compete, but I'm skeptical if that's true, man. What do you think?
Well, I mean, it's coming out in different areas or different people reporting different things. You know, give you an example, NBA trade reports as Paul George, the Warriors is gaining momentum. The two sides have been in constant communication over the last 24 hours. And NBA Central says the Warriors are prepared to trade for George and offer him a full 4-year max contract. He wants a full max. And there are a number of teams out there, I'm told, that are preparing to give it to him, who are prepared to trade for him. And then there is another tweet here from, where is it? Yeah, it's NBA Central an hour ago tweeted breaking Paul George is signing a 4-year, $200 million deal with the Warriors per podcast P show.
Oh, they're reporting he said it on his show. That's interesting. First of all, the NBA trade account, I never believe anything they write.
NBA Central. It's NBA, oh, NBA Central. Central.
Okay, so this is, again, it's, that's another one of those check. That I'm not seeing anything in the news wire saying that it's confirmed. You're right. Legion Hoops is reporting that. So Wendy's peddling this. That's credible. So this is all based off what Wendy's saying, Brian Windhorst.
Buttcrack Sports says Paul George just followed the Warriors on Instagram.
That's huge. Like I thought when Clay unfollowed the Warriors, and he even more importantly, when he deleted the Warriors pictures, because that's permanent. That part was a much bigger deal than simply unfollowing the Warriors. I thought there was meaning there. I don't know if you thought that was just a strictly negotiating tactic. I thought that meant something. Like Clay's an emotional dude. He's not known for being savvy in terms of, you know, strategic decision making. The guy is a very upfront, you see what you get type of individual. So when he did that, I read it as very serious. And I also think that's a big deal. I'm going to look up Paul George's Instagram to see if that's true.
I mean, but you know, I don't know if Butt Crack Sports is legitimate. I mean,
no, it's not. That's one of those parody accounts.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I will not trust them. But I'm going to look up Paul George's Instagram real fast, because if that's true and he did follow the Warriors, we can find that out right now. That's a big deal, because why would he do that otherwise? Like, what's the point? Unless he's doing his own weird little, you know, tactics in terms of, you know, making other teams maybe want him more by him following the Warriors. Let's see if he's following the Warriors on social media.
He is. Does this mean the end of Klay Thompson with the Warriors, though?
100%.
One NBA insider believes the Warriors are, quote, emotionally prepared to move on from Klay Thompson.
Yeah. First of all, Paul George is not following the Warriors on Instagram. So we could poo-poo that that story. I do, man. Like, here's the thing. If the Warriors really wanted Klay, if the organization starting with Joe Lacob really viewed Klay Thompson as an asset that they value, it would not have gotten to this point. Like, they would have given him, they would have made an offer that would have been viewed as a compromise. You and I have both read all the reports that Klay wants 3 years. It's a commitment thing that is important to him. And if the Warriors really wanted him, they would have offered that. But Joe Lacob, again, man, you and I grew up in the Bay Area, dude. We saw how Eddie D operates. Eddie D was ready to move on, sustain greatness, not hold on to sentimentality, not pull what the Lakers did in the 2010s with Kobe Bryant, or the Giants did in the 2000s with Barry Bonds, where you're just parading this aging star to sell tickets and for marketing purposes. I cannot stand that gimmicky crap. And the great news is Joe Lacob does not subscribe to that. He's going more the Eddie D route. And I think he sees what a lot of us sees with Klay Thompson, that Klay is beloved. The dude's going to get a statue someday. My personal request is add Rocco. But in the current present state of what things are, Klay Thompson, unless you're paying him a very salary cap friendly deal, maybe like $15 million a season, he's hurting your team. Especially when you look at what the roster has and the minutes that Klay takes, and you see how much in love Steve Kerr still is with Klay Thompson. He's a crutch. You've got to move on. If Klay thinks he's still a starter who commands 30, 40 million a year, I don't see what the alternative is. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but that's my.
Well, opinion. It just seems like, you know, who's really running the Warriors? I mean, Steve Kerr, I believe Steve Kerr when he says, I'm desperate to keep Klay Thompson.
I do too.
I think he's desperate to have everybody he's desperate to have everybody think that he wants Klay Thompson, because he's desperate to convince Steph that they didn't banish his buddy. Because I think you lose Steph to some degree if you banish Klay or are viewed as treating Klay poorly. Mm-hmm. If you say publicly, we love Klay, we're desperate to keep him, you know, this and that. And then, you know, and I've heard people talk about this saying, well, if Klay's not here, it'll be his decision. Well, that's the way the Warriors want it. They want to make sure that it's viewed as such, that if Klay's not going to be here, that they are covered, so mm-hmm. they can go to Steph and say, we wanted him. He just wanted to go somewhere else. But there's a way to do this. I mean, I think Farhan Zaidi, I think, has proven it to Giants fans. There's a way to be in the negotiations, but really never in the negotiations.
Yes.
And I kind of get the feeling that the Warriors are playing that card with Klay Thompson, that they really don't want him back because he can't deal with, you know, everybody has to tiptoe around Klay Thompson.
Yes.
And that's gotta end. That's gotta end. I mean, he's not Jordan. Just, you know, he was a good player. He's a Hall of Fame player. He's had a nice run here, but everybody's got to tiptoe around Klay. And it's so obvious. Steve coached around Klay's ego. You know, I mean, that's, you can't.
Well, Larry, I'll never forget when you were interviewing Steve last year on radio and you brought up the idea, and this was like a year and a half ago, of Klay coming off the bench, and he scoffed at you.
It was insane.
That was ridiculous, but it personifies and exemplifies what you were just saying right there. Klay is very sensitive.
Very sensitive.
You know, and he's also like a grumpy dude, man. I mean, you and I have been around him in the media area. Like, he like every time I've ever seen Klay, in person, he always looks like someone who doesn't want to be there. Like, he's just like begrudgingly going through the commitments of media and so forth. And then there was a story last year that no one published. I'm the only person who reported this, that Clay berated a Warriors beat reporter. I won't say who it is. If the person wants to report that himself, he can. And I revealed the gender, unfortunately, saying that. But he berated. He literally yelled at a reporter in the locker room last year. This is like in January, February, who he agreed to do an interview with. And then just randomly, because he had a bad game, goes off, starts cursing at him, starts berating him, telling him how pathetic he is as an individual to have a livelihood based on interviewing other people. So unprofessional. And again, it exemplified who Clay is. If you love the Warriors, I understand the sentimentality, man. The guy was a core piece of a dynasty. But at the same time, he's a human being like everyone else, and he has his flaws like everyone else. And like you said, it's not easy to deal with the guy. It's not. He's a grump. And sometimes...
Well, it's so weird. He's such a contradiction, because when he was first coming up, I think he was the easiest teammate of all time. He just played and played and played. Great two-way player, great offensive player, great defensive player. Yeah, was he dialed in on situational basketball? No. You know, was he mentally just sometimes checked out, or not checked out, but mentally disengaged at times? Sure. Frustrating, I'm sure, to coach at times. But he was an easy guy to have on the team, because he just loved to like a dog just loves to run and chase balls. This guy just liked to run and play and play and play. You know, it was like he was so easy to deal with. No ego, no, you know, not your typical superstar. And now I think it's like, as easy as he was to deal with on the way up, he's having a very, very hard time dealing with the twilight of his career. And it's all about trying to get back and, you know, what makes me comfortable, what makes me feel like I did when I was younger. And he just, you know, he had a good second half. He had some good production this year, but, you know, sure enough, when the season was on the line, he had a nightmare night.
Yep.
And you know, it didn't surprise me at all. I actually went on this show with Grant Napier and Jerry Reynolds, you know, the night before that series, and said, Klay Thompson, before that series. And I was like, Klay Thompson's going to shoot them out of it. You know, he's going to shoot them out of it. And they were all worried about, you know, Sacramento and how they were playing. And, you know, and I'm like, no, Sacramento's got this. You know, the Warriors, Klay's going to play poorly. Steve's going to make some boneheaded lineup call. And sure enough, he did. He got scared off of two bad minutes from Trayce Jackson-Davis and sat his butt on the bench. So now you have one of your good core players that was giving you tons that you got nothing out of in that Sacramento game. And then Klay shot whatever he shot, 0-for-12 or whatever. And that's it. Thanks for coming. Have a good night. So I think it's time to take Klay Thompson away from Steve Kerr. Stop. We know the answer to this. It's not like, can Steve, you know, correctly assess this and manage this? No, he's too wed to the championship years, too appreciative of what Klay gave him. I had a hard time discussing Klay Thompson moving on, just filling in on 95.7 The Game, because their hosts are so in love with this dynasty and so much not wanting to let it end that it was like, you know, hell no, you can't move Klay. It's like, what are we talking about? I mean,
are you still filling in there, by the way, 95.7 The Game?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So I won't be too critical here, but I will say this as a reminder that the station is the flagship of the Warriors. I always tell people, refrain from trusting fully, at least the full-time host there.
Yeah, just, I mean, they're good. It's a good station, and they've got quality people, but they have a conflict of interest in that they want to see the ratings go and the Warriors continue to be on top, and everything has a shelf life, and it's over. You know, it's over for the championship days are over for Golden State. So. It's
possibly, most likely.
I think it is. I mean, I don't care if they get Paul George. I mean, Paul George is not not vaulting the Warriors over the top.
Fair. But, Glare, I'll push back a little bit and say this. We don't know, and this goes for analyzing every NBA team. They're young players. It's hard to know for certain, damn near impossible, how much growth we're going to see. So what I mean by this is there is a very strong possibility these four young pieces that I don't know how you feel about it. We can get into that if you want. I value them tremendously. I think Kuminga's ceiling, I've said Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, it could reach that level. Who knows? I mean, I could be wrong. But Moses Moody, I feel greatly about. Brandon Pajemski, first team, all NBA rookie. Who knows where that goes? Trayce Jackson-Davis, you and I both love him. We have no idea what we're going to see with them next year. Like, we could see such an exponential growth that they might actually become the stars of this team. And then Steph and, let's say, hypothetically, Paul George, Draymond Green, they might start taking on, like, that Tim Duncan, Manu, Tony Parker role toward the end of the Spurs years where they started to defer to Kawhi Leonard. There is a possibility. I'm not in any way confidently saying it's going to happen, but we don't know what's going to happen is what I'm trying to say. So with these young pieces, dude, they might turn into something incredibly special where the pressure is suddenly lifted off Steph, where Paul George is not relied on. If this happens, we're already talking like he's a member of the Warriors, but that's my side of it, is why I'm not ruling out the Warriors in terms of them being contenders, but I also totally understand where you're coming from too. Well, I don't know. What do you think about it?
First of all, it's been very frustrating to be a Warrior fan over the last 6 months. Why? Because the trade rumors that they're in, you'll read an article, you'll read five trade rumors, four of them sound like fair. And then the one involving the Warriors sounds like grand theft. And the Warriors are getting screwed. I can't read any of these Warrior rumors anymore because it's like, okay, what the Warrior rumor is Kuminga, Trayce Jackson-Davis, Pajemski, Moody, three number ones and two pick swaps for Mikal Bridges. It's like, no, you know, they're not going to do that. And it's like, I mean, I can't tell you the number of bad rumors I've seen. It's like the NBA rumor mill has just decided that Pajemski and Kuminga and Moody and that they have no value in the future to the Warriors, that the only value that those guys have is to trade for Jimmy Butler. And I mean, to me, I like Jimmy Butler. He's not bad, but he's 35 years old. I'm not trading 21-year-old Jonathan Kuminga, who's improved dramatically from 19. At age 21, and I'm going to trade him for Jimmy Butler. What if Butler pulls a hamstring and misses the first half of the year? What if all of a sudden there's an injury there? Now you've driven your franchise off the cliff and you have nothing to, people are like, you know, I heard JD talking about this the other day on KNBR. Well, you know, I think you just have to accept, because he's in the camp of trade Kuminga. You just gotta accept that, you know, 2 years from now they're gonna be in a rebuild.
Well, this is the same JD. Kuminga and Moody sucked, side note, but go ahead.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, it's like, okay. I mean, so because they're gonna have to be involved in some kind of a, you know, I mean, don't force it. I mean, if you can't really compete for a title, why would you get rid of all your assets? Right now, you're not competing for a title, correct? Let's say you picked up, I mean, right now, this year, they didn't compete for a title.
I don't want to say that absolutely, only because it's a disrespect to Steph. Like, I just can't rule out Steph. You have to give him pieces, but
it's
a team sport.
I mean, he's only one guy.
True. That's very true.
Team, again, if you surround team sport. Him, they had nobody. They played Denver. Denver had their entire team in their prime. The Warriors have Wiggins in their prime. Everybody else is like young or old.
To me,
the Warriors are not a title contender this year, obviously, because they made the play-in game and got destroyed. And I don't think they're more than a outside title contender if they add Paul George. So
that's fair. I like how you label that, outside title contender. I think that's a fair a label to put on them if they make some moves this offseason.
Yeah. But I mean,
I'm with you though. And another trade
for getting rid of Kuminga and Pajemski and Trayce Jackson-Davis for a 33, 34, or 35 year old player. I don't think. I mean, the question is this: does Joe want in 2 years to rebuild from nothing, or does he want to rebuild and have three or four pieces already in place? Because he's got some young players in place. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know there's always this like, well, you don't want to waste Steph's title contention years. Okay, but you also don't want to throw away all your assets trying to climb a mountain that you can't climb. And then what? So then you can look him in the face and say, 2 years from now, when you don't have Kuminga, don't have Moody, don't have Trace Jackson Davis, don't have any picks, and are really staring at a 7-8 year rebuild, and that's if you make all the right decisions, is that worth gutting what you've got, you know, your young players that you have right now? I don't think so.
There's even a dumber trade proposal that I saw out there than Jimmy Butler was. There were people proposing trading Kuminga for Kevin Durant. Like, that was asinine. I'm like, well, what are you thinking? You think Kevin Durant's going to come in here and they're just going to be title contenders? The guy has already shown he's Robin. He's old. He can't carry a team on his own. So it's just, there is a lot of dumb trade proposals out there. Trading Kuminga, to me, the only names I would consider ever would be Giannis. And then the guys that have no chance in hell of being traded, like Jokic, Luka, it's got to be a superstar, man. Otherwise, forget about it, dude.
I mean, to me, it doesn't have to be a superstar, but it has to be a young star. It has to be Lauri Markkanen. I'm not giving away a 21-year-old player with a world of athleticism who's going to be much better in 2 years, much better in 3 years, and has potential to be a great player. I'm not going to trade that player for a good but not spectacular player in the twilight.
Agreed.
I mean, saying they should trade him I hate to say it. Damon Bruce and I got into an argument the other day. He wants him to be traded to the Lakers for LeBron.
Dumb. No, that's dumb.
You're going to trade for LeBron James?
I love Damon, but that's moronic. I don't support that at all. Well, but you bring up the Lauri Markkanen thing is interesting because that, I was conflicted a little bit regarding the concept, the idea of trading Kuminga for Markkanen. So you're saying you would do that? Because I was kind of, I couldn't
it's
answer
the
that.
Kind of player I would do it. I mean, that's the only way I'm moving Kuminga. I'm not moving him. I'm not moving him from Mikal Bridges.
No.
Who is also moved. Now, yeah. He's now a Knick. But I mean, I'm not moving him for Mikal Bridges. I'm not moving him for Jimmy Butler. I'm not moving him for LeBron James.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, you put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor, because you know the bigger the fight, the better the reward. Medela, the mark of the fight. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I'm not moving him for Paul George.
We are on the same page. 100%. And just to add, going back for 1 second here, going back to what we were talking about in terms of Klay Thompson, because a lot of people bring up that last playoff game where he was 0-10, disastrous game against the Kings. I still would like someone to make it make sense in terms of Klay getting the second most minutes in that game when he was disastrous from beginning to end. That alone is why Steve Kerr cannot be trusted with Klay. But it isn't just the last postseason. That Lakers series, people forget, man, the last three games of that Lakers series, Klay averaged 9 points per game. He was, in terms of 3-point shooting, 3 for 9.
2 years ago. 2 years ago.
2 years ago. Yeah, yeah. Sorry, I don't know what I said. 3 for 9, 2 for 2 of 6. And then the last playoff game against the Lakers, 2 of 12 from deep. So he's no longer game six Klay. When game six Klay died, rest in peace. That is when I started deciding Klay no longer carries that gravitas that made him so special. And you can't give him the house anymore for that. But I just had to.
And they offered him 2 years, $48 million, which they never should have offered him. And he turned it down and ridiculed it. So, I mean, that's it right there. I mean, there's the door, buddy. See ya. And I enjoy the guy. I think he's cool. I think he's, I've loved watching him play, but it's over.
Probably super fun to hang out with Larry. Chances are, if you're hanging out with Clay, it's an afternoon of smoking honey coated blunts, PlayStation 5. You might have some Instagram models lurking around. You get to play and snuggle with Rocco. You get to go on the boat for lunch. Dude, it would be the time of our lives. But as and forever, I love Clay for that. More power to you that you can live that kind of lifestyle. But as a player, man, you're right. The fact you rejected that 2-year, $48 million, dude, oh my God. Like, it's,
I don't really believe Steve Kerr is desperate to have Clay back. I just think he's desperate to have Steph believe that he's desperate to have Clay back.
Good call on that, Larry. Absolutely.
I think the Warriors, you know, these negotiations have been bizarre. You know, oh, there's no talk, there's no movement, there's no this, there's no that. Yeah, you know why? Because of what I just said. They offered him $48 million. They should have offered him half that. And they offered him $48 million and he scoffed at it. I mean, he is an absolute moron for not taking the $48 million. I mean, seriously, dude, do you have an agent? Do you have an agent? Do you have anybody that you trust in your life that can advise you beyond your massive ego? I mean, seriously, what you should have done is you should have said, put it in writing, get it to me right away, and let me sign it and get it back to you. Instead, it's like, oh, no, I don't know if I like that. I want more than that. I want 3 years. I want multiple, you know. Talk about not reading the room. And geez, dude.
You know, you're right. And I love Matt Brotherton in the chat saying that the only situation you think of worse than Clay turning down the 2-year $48 million was Dennis Schroeder a few years back, turning down near, I think it was 70? Nearly. Yeah.
It was $70 million or something like that.
It was a huge deal. And it was, I thought it was like almost a max deal, and he turned it down and he ended up getting like a 1-year deal for like $5 or $10 million.
Right. Yeah. Matt Brotherton, outside of Dennis Schroeder, can't think of a worse, I didn't sign the contract moment. Oh. For a player, tough for him. Yeah, I mean, seriously, 48, a team that you love playing for, that is your only home you've ever had. You claim to love the Bay. You own a boat. You're this guy you've already made. I mean, if I look up Clay Thompson on Basketball Reference, what's his career earnings?
Oh, his last deal, I think he made almost $200 million, right? Just shy of that. And I think,
he made $90 million from Anta.
Yeah, and that the shoe deal, correct. And
he's made probably $500 million in his life as a pro. He's probably made $500 million.
Filthy
and rich. you're not gonna sign when somebody offers you $50 million to hang out for a couple more years and keep playing on a team that you love, and you're like, no, I think I need to go to Orlando. You know,
Pride's a bitch. It's a hard learning lesson he's taken from this. It's also, I think, important to know too that at the end of last season, there was this one attribution. It was a post game press conference, or maybe it was the exit interview, where Clay was talking about the last contract he signed, because he signed that max deal after he blew out his ACL. So, and Clay is sitting there saying that he was basically insinuating that Joe Lacob, it was not a big deal. It was not an altruistic move to give Clay that max deal right after he tore his ACL. Like, Clay basically expressed this entitlement attitude where he's like, oh, I deserve that 100. He had just torn his ACL, and owners do not owe players a damn thing for what they've done in the past. You're getting paid for what's to come. He just blew his ACL out, and the Warriors still gave him just shy of $200 million. And Clay is scoffing at that, saying that was not a kind altruistic gesture and that he deserved that money. I don't think Joe Lacob heard that and took it kindly, because when it comes to negotiations, Joe takes that very seriously. And yeah, man, it's not looking good in terms of Clay coming back. But let me ask you this. I'm putting Clay at 50-50. I still think he could come back. I really do. What are you placing for odds and why?
Well, I mean, it's clear that he probably doesn't have a burgeoning market. I mean, you know, he's not getting more than Malik Monk got. He's getting less.
Correct.
So, I mean, Malik Monk was clearly more coveted. I just think that the Warriors are so, they don't make that. They no longer make decisions based on sound basketball reasoning. It's all based on ego. Everything's based on ego right now. And I just, everything's based on ego and trying to satisfy mega stars. And so it's not about what makes basketball sense. It's not about building. It's about, you know, satisfying millionaires. And, you know, I don't know. There's a weird vibe around the Warriors
right now. 100%. I'm totally.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. Let's make Steph happy. You know, what does Steph want? I mean, it's like Steph's got to be realistic too. I mean, it's like winning championships is very difficult to do, and it's really. You think, you know, it's like to me, it's a contradiction. I'm desperate to win a championship, and yet I want my team to pay an absurd amount of money to a guy whose best days have come and gone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you want? I mean, what do you want? It sounds like you want everything. It sounds like you want to win a championship, but you don't want to win a championship with other guys. You want to win a championship with your guys, but your guys are old and not championship worthy anymore. But you're so loyal to your guys that it's like, oh God, I can't, you know, we can't not have Clay here, but we got to try to maximize and win a title. Well, what is it? Which one is it? You want to win a title or you want to go out with your guys? I brought this up a year ago, and it's another one of these topics that's like, you know, can't be broached on the flagship. But, I mean, you've got Klay Thompson and Draymond Green and Steph Curry. They came in together. I don't think that they can go to the finish line with all three guys and win another title.
Agreed.
I don't believe it. I don't think it can be done. So agreed. That's
unless,
my premise. So
unless
what? So if you're Steph, what do you want? If you want, would you rather go out with your guys or you want to win a title? But because I don't think you can serve both masters on that one. I don't think you can have declining Clay making tons, declining Draymond making tons, declining Steph making tons. That is that right there takes you out of the running. You can't have three declining max players and win championships. That's you got to have guys in their prime, and they don't have guys in their prime.
That is the formula for a dynasty coming to an end. You're absolutely right. And it's rare, but there are examples. And I'm writing an article that I'm taking way too long finishing up for Yard Barker, but I'm writing an article right now in terms of how dynasties can sustain themselves beyond just one generational window. And the Spurs have proven that it's possible. The Niners proved this possible. And the Warriors, there is a formula to do it. And that involves, like you said, not giving big deals to players on the decline at the end of their careers. That does not translate to success.
No. And guys make bad decisions. Mark Grace says, how about Sprewell? Didn't Sprewell turn down a big amount of money? And
he might have. I can't remember.
But yeah, somebody in here said, I think it might just be better health-wise for the Warriors and Clay to part ways.
Yeah.
They say that it's easier sometimes to accept a lesser role in a new room. And Klay Thompson is just an absolute perfect example of that. In this room, he loses face. Mm-hmm. Because here's the bottom line. He thinks of respect only as tied to money. And so he's being disrespected by the lack of money that he's being offered. But he doesn't even factor in the 2 years that he was hurt, couldn't contribute, and probably banked $50 million in those 2 years. That was your, you know, the team paying, you know, showing you the respect is when you were hurt. They paid you anyway. And now in the twilight, they want you to play nice and give them a deal. And you're not in that mode. You're in that show me my respect. And what it's going to do, it's going to show you Orlando. Mm-hmm. So I hope you like Orlando. I personally think that the Warriors are so in love with message sending and coddling superstars at this point that they would probably make a bad deal just to keep Klay Thompson, just to make him happy. I hope they're a little bit more firm in their approach to this thing. But it's possible that he's back. I would absolutely just say, hey, Klay, look. Bottom line, it's not that we can't come together on a deal. It's that you're not going to be happy, fully happy with playing at the figure that we want you to play at. And you're going to feel disrespected, and you're going to be walking around, you know, talking about glory days and, you know, dropping, speaking cryptically and tweeting. And, you know, it's like, it just, it's not, it's just, it's better to move on.
Absolutely. I'm totally with you. You know, I don't know if it's time to shift gears, but
yeah.
The NBA draft is tonight, and the Warriors don't have a first round pick.
Well, that's why one more thing before we get into the tonight's draft.
Yeah, please. Yeah.
There's another proposal that I read this morning. Okay, that would send Andrew Wiggins to the Cavaliers.
Okay.
For Caris LeVert and the 24th pick, which would be in tonight's NBA draft. Now, the Cavs would get Wiggins, the Warriors would get LeVert and the number 20 pick in the in tonight's draft. I would do that too. I mean, I you know, personally, as I said, I think the sweet spot in this draft is between 20 and 30. I think that's where that's where there's some really good players and great value. And I don't know how you feel about Caris LeVert. He's a pretty good player.
I like him. I like LeVert. He's athletic. He plays D. He's not a bad shooter. Same age as Andrew Wiggins, so you're not getting younger or older. I like Caris LeVert. I think he would be a positive. And again, when it comes to the NBA draft, I don't study it enough, at least not this year, to give.
Yeah. Oh, that's been a bad. It's a bad year.
Informed opinion. So you take it away in that regard.
Well, it's a bad year for the draft, but you know, just to put this in perspective, I mean, everybody's got different thoughts on who they like and don't like, and you know, personally, I went through with a fine tooth comb and studied all the players in the draft and watched highlights of every single one of these guys. And I feel like I got a pretty good handle on the draft. I mean, all drafts are about identifying false favorites. So everybody's a favorite. Everybody was the best player on their college team, best player on their international team. You know what I mean? You know, it's like nobody was like, oh yeah, they sucked in college. No, everybody was great. So it's hard to find who's really got talent. Now, in the 20s, I think there's some real sleepers, and in round two. But the guy that I think is a tremendous steal in this draft is a guy that I think in very, very much reminds me of Klay Thompson. And that's the Creighton two-guard, 6'7", Baylor Shireman, you know, I think Shireman was projected to go 57 about a month ago. Then he went to the Chicago pre-draft and he lit it up. He made almost every shot he took. He looked great in the scrimmages. He looked great in the workouts. And so now he's thought to be from the end of round two to more like anywhere between 20 down somewhere. He's probably going between 20 and 35, let's say. So, That's the guy that I would take if I were the Warriors. That's the young Klay Thompson. That's the guy who can flat out shoot the rock, who's, you know, a little bit better athlete than you think, a little bit better playmaker than you think, a little bit more all-around game than you would think. It's, you know, his shooting, though, kind of, you know, overshines every other aspect of his game. I don't know how much you watch Creighton or Shireman, but this guy can flat out shoot the basketball. Mid-range money, three-point line money. I mean, we're talking about a guy with major range and just a picture-perfect release. As I said, Klay Thompson. He's got a Klay Thompson kind of shot. He's not
a Klay Thompson athlete. I want to highlight Nick Jay in the chat, who's saying you're a effing draft legend. That is not highlighted enough. You are, man. You're a former professional scout. I know it was in football, but your scouting in basketball is exemplary. You were telling folks in the 2021 draft, the Warriors should draft, sorry to be redundant there, Albert Şengün. Is that his first name, Albert?
Alperen Şengün. Şengün. I was big on Şengün, and now look what he is.
I was big on
Damian Lillard coming out of Weber State with Ratty.
You know what you're talking about, man. You know what you're talking about when it comes to
I just take the time. But, you know, my good friend is Bill Duffy. Bill Duffy is one of the preeminent NBA agents. He represents lots of guys who play internationally who come over here. He represents American players who play over there. And so I see Bill at these things, and he knows this is kind of my my this is what I nerd out with. Like, you know, some people nerd out doing something else. I nerd out late at night if I'm sitting there watching TV or whatever by YouTubing NBA and NFL draft prospects. But I love Baylor Shireman. I love the Duke big man, Kyle Filipowski, who's not a great athlete, you know, but he's a stretch four, stretch five type guy who's can pass and he's competitive. And obviously Duke won a ton of games. I really like Filipowski, but my super sleeper, you know, every year there's a couple international players that come through and you're like, whoa, look at that guy. There's a guy in this year's draft named Babacar Sané, who came out of the NBA Africa program. He's from Senegal. And this guy is unfreaking believable. Have you heard of Babacar Sané?
I've not, but I'm listening.
I almost want to see if I could find, well, I don't know if I can find any video of the guy. But Babacar Sané is 6'7", 235, 240 pounds. He's a wing, but he reminds me a lot of Jonathan Kuminga.
Ooh.
I mean, he's ridiculously athletic. He's got 7'2 wingspan. So 7'2 wingspan on a 6'8 player. He's just a ridiculous finisher. I mean, this guy can just run the floor and jam. He's an amazing player. You know, he was a G League. He played for the G League Ignite team this year, and he's 20. He needs development. Like, he needs skill development. He needs development on his feel, development on his, on, you know, just every aspect of his game. But he's got strength and length, explosiveness. And at, you know, at 6'7", 240 with a 7'2 wingspan, the guy is just shredded. I mean, absolutely shredded.
And just to add to that, wingspans are vitally important, man. They're almost as important as height. The Warriors focus very closely on the wingspan of a player when deciding whether to acquire him. It's oftentimes why the Warriors height-wise are smaller than other teams, because they also take into account wingspan. I've had sources tell me that in terms of the Warriors scouts, like Jerry West is an example of someone who height-wise was, what, 6'2", 6'3", but his wingspan, I think, was over 7 feet.
Well, look at Draymond Green. I mean, Draymond Green is 6'7".
Kuminga's another one, too. He's got a 7-foot wingspan. So the wingspan is vitally important, man. Like, I was 5'10". More important than the height. Absolutely. And I was 5'10", but I have these crazy long arms, and that made a huge difference for me as someone who's 5'10", if I had to guard someone who's 6 feet or taller. So the wingspan thing is very important when calculating these. So I'm glad you're bringing that up too.
Yeah. This guy's got crazy wingspan and he plays like 6'10" and he doesn't really have, you know, he's got to develop his handle. He's got to develop his shot, but the athleticism is like Giannis. Like, if you watch this guy and you look at the athleticism, you're like, this guy is a crazy athlete. Like, 2 years from now, when this guy's 22, Babacar Sané is going to be really, really good. So that guy is definitely a sleeper. Definitely a sleeper. The other guy I think is a total sleeper is the UCLA big man, Adam Bona, who's 6'8", 245, but he's another guy with crazy wingspan, 7'1 wingspan. So he plays like 6'10", and he jumps. He's got 40-inch vertical, and he's 6'9". And he was, you know, he was really good for UCLA this year. So there's also a point guard named Eric Gaines for University of Alabama at Birmingham, who is kind of a cross between like a Monte Ellis and a Schroeder. I mean, he's just super athletic, super explosive. You got to see Eric Gaines. If you get a chance, go YouTube Eric Gaines. He's 6 feet, 148 pounds, so he's small.
Ah, the sweet sound of sports you love from Sling. The collide of football pads. The squeak of shoes on a basketball court. The crack of the bat on a home run. The slice of skates cutting across the ice. But what about this one? That's the sound of all the sports you love, all at once. Starting at $40 a month, experience it all live with Sling. Sling.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
But he's just a crazy athlete, one of the best athletes in all of college basketball. He doesn't shoot well. He only shot 28% on threes. But he's a kid from Georgia who's just one of the most athletic kids you're going to find. He's 23. He's a junior. Anyway, Eric Gaines, UAB point guard, really, really, really exciting. So Shireman, Filipowski, Gaines, Babacar Sané, Jamal Shedd, the point guard, the small point guard for Houston, is a tremendous player. There's a guy from Sweden, a Dutch big man who's 6'10", named Bobby Klintman, who's got a lot of potential.
You've done your research, man. Look at you.
Oh, I really have. Yeah. There's another guy who played for Cleveland State named Tristan Inaruna. And this guy is really intriguing, Si. He's a 6'8", 220-pound power forward from the Netherlands who's a scorer. He handles the ball. He's incredibly polished. He can score down low. He's got 7'1 wingspan. He averaged over 19 points a game for Cleveland State. I think he was one of the MVPs at the Portsmouth Invitational pre-draft camp before Chicago. Tristan Inaruna, very, very impressive. And then there's a couple other guys. I mean, Jermaine Cousinard, the Oregon combo guard, looks a lot like Gilbert Arenas to me. Point guard, small guard, shooting guard combo, you know, 6'3", super athletic. There's a gigantic white center from Utah named Brandon Carlson, who's, I don't know, I think he's super skinny, but he's really, really athletic. 17-6 is what he averaged for the Utes this year. He's 7'220". And he's, you know, the guy can handle, he can pass, he can shoot. He's a little bit older. He's 25, but he's definitely got some talent. So, you know, and then there's a couple of young point guards, Isaiah Stevens from Colorado State, excellent playmaker, 5-year starter. And then there's a kid who's from Pleasant Hill. He's a Bay Area kid. He played at Florida. He's a 6'4 point guard, combo guard, Zion Pullen. Very polished mid-range game. And this guy's interesting in that Pullen shot 45% from the college three and 85% from the free throw line. So, I mean, if he improves his shooting even a little bit as a pro, you could wind up with a 6'4 strong point guard who shoots 40% from three and 90% from the foul line.
And Larry, if you don't mind me throwing some names out there real fast.
No, go ahead.
So Brandon Carlson. So I'm over on Threads. You can follow me there at Dog Wild. That's my platform. Brandon Carlson is also, a lot of people have hit me up about him. So
yeah, very, very intriguing player. He's very skinny, but he's really, really talented. Really talented. I mean, he averaged 17-6. He's kind of a stretch five, but I mean, this guy can handle the ball. He can pass. He can shoot. There's definitely questions about his defense, and he's not much of a rebounder, but he's a big stretch player who's about 7'220".
And did you mention Mario Hezonja? I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, from Turkey.
No,
Any research on him?
I haven't studied him.
Just another name that someone tagged me in.
Somebody in the chat here is asking about, here we go. We got this one. From Lore. He says, Larry, should the Warriors draft Zach Edey out of Purdue?
The big guy, right?
Yeah, I mean, 7'4". I mean, I wouldn't want Zach Edey, but I think Zach Edey's definitely an NBA player. I mean, he's super. You're talking about an enormously skilled player who originally they were saying he was going to go like high second round. Now they're thinking maybe the Lakers might grab him at the in the middle of the first round. So I don't think Zach Edey's going to be there for the Warriors, but okay. I think he's an NBA big man. I mean, he's really, really skilled, but he's slow, mm-hmm. you know, and I don't know how much he can play. But yeah, he's an interesting guy.
And if the Warriors don't make a trade and they end up with the number 252 pick, a lot of people are talking about, you know, well, they struck gold with Trayce Jackson-Davis last year. My response to that is it's shocking still to this moment that Trayce Jackson-Davis even lasted that long. Some mock drafts had him going in the first round last year. When you look at
this, it was kind of an inside deal, wasn't it?
It was the guaranteed money is why the Warriors struck gold with him, because a lot of second round picks don't get guaranteed contracts. And Trayce Jackson-Davis made it very clear, do not draft me if you're not going to give me a guaranteed deal and treat me like a first rounder. And that scared teams off. And he landed with the Warriors, which is huge. But for folks who have high hopes for the second round, I compiled a quick list of who the Warriors have drafted since the dynasty at least started. Because for 3 years, they didn't even have a draft pick, which is really weird. From 13 to 15, they had no draft picks. But here's real fast who they drafted in the second round since 2015 or 2016. I'm sorry. That's when they
had Jordan Bell.
Well, Patrick McCaw. Do you remember him?
Yeah.
Who went to Toronto and won a ring there. Jordan Bell, as you mentioned. Eric Pascal, who I thought was a great draft pick. And then who knows what he's doing now.
Yeah, Eric Pascal from Villanova.
Correct. Exactly. I, it really surprised me that his career didn't go further than it did. But
I know. Alan, I really liked Eric Pascal.
I did too. It was bizarre. Alan Smilajic, a weird cult favorite, who was drafted in the second round. Justinian.
That was definitely. This is where, you know, Lakeup and his kids started feeling themselves. I mean, seriously. Yes. When you know. We know more than you, you know, Alan Smilajic, you know, that's, you know, when I think of Joe and his nepotism, I think of Alan Smilajic and Justinian Jessup.
It's like, that was a weird one. You heard his
that's
name
when you've
years.
Out, you've outthought it. You've spent too much time. You're seeing things that you shouldn't be seeing. This is where these guys, they hired Jerry West to give them credibility, and he was the ultimate personnel guy. And then they just felt like, you know what? How do we become great personnel guys? We'll just rub elbows for a couple of years with Jerry West, and then all of a sudden we'll do it ourselves. We'll just take Kirk and Kent, and they'll just become Jerry West.
Bob Myers actually answered. I love this. This was the other day, because for years there has been this rumor going around that Jerry West shut down the trade, a trade proposal for where Klay Thompson was going to get sent to Minnesota for Kevin Love. And the old rumor for a lot of years, damn near 10 years, was that Jerry West threatened to quit if the Warriors went through with that trade and that everyone else was on board with it. Do you want to hear from Bob Myers to clarify what really went down? Because he actually... Yeah. Went into that. So I think I have the settings here to share. Here we go. And let's hear from Bob Myers on what really went down back. I think it was 2014 is when it was, when we were talking about Klay for Kevin Love.
Oh, do I have to call it? I've got to add it in.
There was nothing going on in the NBA. That story dragged. And I always tell people this mythical story. And I always tell people, the idea that was as close as people thought wasn't, there was nothing going on in the NBA. That story dragged. And I always tell people, we never got as far as people think, and they don't believe me or whatever. And I say, you know, had that deal been close, we would have requested, you know, Kevin Love's medical, because he had some medical stuff going on, and we never did. Sure, our job was to look at it, but Jerry, it never got to the point where we want to do it. And Jerry said, if we do it, I'm out of here. It never got to that level. But it's a fun story for people to tell. And people remember it in such a way, but he certainly, and we all love Klay. I mean, and people want to say that had Jerry not stepped in, that wasn't, you know, Joe loved right. Klay. Steve, everybody, but he was a big fan. And that kind of took on a life of its own, no, that one, I don't know if I could ever talk that one down.
But it's fair to say that he didn't want to do that.
No, he didn't want to do it. Yeah. No. He did not want to do it. But to the point of like everybody else did, that part isn't true.
So there you go. So for the people who hate on Bob Myers and think that Jerry West was the architect behind everything. A little clarification for you there. I thought that was
well, I mean, I think that's good that he pointed that out, that, you know, it becomes like urban legend all of a sudden. But it doesn't really change anything. It's like, once again, Jerry was on the correct side of an evaluation of an NBA player. He thought that they shouldn't make the trade, but it does get played like, you know, that trade was going to get made, but it sounds like that trade was several steps away from getting made, and that there probably were other guys that also would have said, nah, you know, let's stay with Clay, but Jerry's high profile. And so Jerry saying stay with Clay, it's like Jerry prevented them from trading Clay for Love. But it, you know, it sounds like, you know, they probably did like Love and this and that. Nick J says Nico fucking Mannion. Come on. Bro.
Yeah. Well, let me just finish up the list real fast.
Let's go with this list one more time. Let me bust out my where's my pen here?
So second round pick since 2016 by the Warriors, Patty McCaw. Fine Irish lad. Jordan Bell. I'm going to mention Jacob Evans III. He was technically a first-round pick, but just to remind people, that was a wild one. Eric Pascal.
By the way, I remember when I was ripping the shit out of Jacob Evans, Fitz said to me, 3 years from now, he's going to be great. I'm like, fucking Homer, shut up. 3 years from now, he's going to be great. He fucking sucks. Guy can't shoot at all. Guy can't shoot at all. God. He's a total brick.
That's funny.
And people are 3 years from now, Jacob Evans is going to be tremendous. So, really? For who? The Albany Patroons? You know, playing for the Turkish team somewhere. And I mean, where is Jacob Evans even playing right now?
He's out. Last time we saw him, he was playing, I kid you not, he was playing center for the Santa Cruz Warriors. And then we never saw him again.
Amazingly, that guy shot 40-something% from the college three at Cincinnati.
That's why you gotta
really study these guys before. It's not just about stats. You gotta go really look at their form and really look. I mean, he was a brute. He was a physical brute Cincinnati. And I couldn't believe when I saw his 3-point shooting percentage. I'm like, really? The guy that I'm thinking of that's just kind of bangs bodies and is like almost a physical intimidator, that guy is also some marksman. I'm like, wow. Maybe he is a really good player. And then sure enough, you know, what a bogus, you know, stat that was. That guy couldn't shoot his way out of a paper bag. I mean, the Warriors, I mean, this is the thing. Smilagic and McCaw and George Bell.
A few more real fast here. Justinian Jessup, Nico Mannion, who was a number 48 pick. Guy Santos, I still have high hopes for. I really like this kid. I'm curious to know what's going to happen next year with him.
People talk about Guy like he's going to be a star.
I'm not saying star, but I think he could be a solid role player. Ryan Rollins, that was a disaster. Remember, people like the Warriors.
I met him. I thought he was seemed like an unbelievably nice kid. And didn't he like rob somebody?
Yes. And he's done. You're right. I don't have the it's a crazy story with him. He did get arrested recently. And then last year, the so far so amazing Trace Jackson Davis. So those are the recent second round picks.
Well, I mean, and if you want to go further back, Monte Ellis, second round pick.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to go further back, Gilbert Arenas, second round pick.
And that sucked because the Warriors through the CBA rules re-sign him. Yeah, that was so messed up.
Of course, that would be so Warriors that you know they draft Gilbert Arenas, they find the fucking hibachi in the second round, and then they can't pay him because of some little wrinkle that's in the CBA that got eradicated like the very next year and changed. It's like, by the way, you're still not getting Gilbert Arenas, and he still moves on, but we changed that rule. We filled in the loophole. Oh, good. Now I feel worlds better knowing that loophole.
I literally am looking at this right
That's
now.
That's what it was like being a Warrior fan back in the day. You find Gilbert Arenas and then some little CBA stipulation, and now he's a Washington Wizard. You know, while he was awesome.
30 years of Warriors basketball for you. That's a great symbol of how bad it was. I forgot this name. I still have no memory of it. In 2011, in the second round, the Warriors drafted Charles Jenkins out of Hofstra. Have no memory of this. Do you?
Yeah, I do remember. Guard, small 6'4" guard, I think.
All right.
And they also took Chris Taft. He had major back problems. I mean, they Monte Ellis. I mean, heck, the fact that they found Monte Ellis,
Draymond Green. Yeah.
I mean, heck, Festus Ezeli was basically a second round pick, wasn't he? Like the last pick of the first round.
Correct.
And the only thing that made him blow up was the chronic bad knees. it's interesting. I mean, the Warriors have done I'm a fan of Lakeup, but this whole I'm light years ahead of everybody else was just so arrogant. Just this shameless, let me put my kids in the front office, and run off Jerry West and run off Bob Myers. And I don't know, there's something it's like, you got to give Lakeup the credit because the title he claimed he was going to put banners in the rafters and did. Yep. So but people were like, he's the greatest owner of all time. Let's see where it goes here.
He bought a
team that already had Steph Curry.
You know, you're absolutely right. And it is weird. And by the way, you're one of the only people on the planet. And I brought this up on Golden Days. You're one of the only individuals I've ever heard. And you might be very accurate saying this, that Don Nelson should be getting most, if not all, of the credit for the Warriors dynasty, because he was behind the Stephen Curry draft. I know Larry Riley gets the credit.
Larry Riley.
And Stephen Curry named his first child after him, Riley, which goes to show just how much that meant to him. But
you have to know who Larry Riley is. Larry Riley wouldn't have even had an NBA job in the front office if it wasn't for Don Nelson.
Yeah, there you go.
I sat next to Larry Riley 5 years prior to that when he was scouting for the Mavericks. Don Nelson had a huge hand in Larry Riley. And Larry Riley used to come on with Ratty and I all the time. And I had so much access to Larry Riley. And I've talked to him for hours about this. And nobody's going to, if everybody was saying Cyrus is a genius.
Thank you.
And it was something that had to do with something that you discussed on a thing with Rick Barry or something, right? And you know that Rick suggested it, but everybody's saying, walking around saying, Cyrus is a genius. Cyrus is a genius. Would you spend a lot of effort saying, no, it wasn't Rick that said that to me. It was me.
No, I would not. No,
you wouldn't go say that, but wouldn't. The people that were calling you a genius, you wouldn't be like, I'm not a genius. Rick's really the genius. You wouldn't do that because you would just go with it. And that's what Larry Riley did. I talked to Larry Riley a lot about that year with Steph. He told me they wanted Steph to come work out. Dell and Steph said, no, they're not working out. Nelly said, we're taking him. And Riley said, well, they didn't, he's not working out for us. And Nelly's like, we're taking him. That's it. And Nelly did get all the films, and Riley sent him all the films, and he watched Tariq Evans. He watched Johnny Flynn. He watched all the guys in that lottery. And he was the guy saying, Steph, to the point where Nelly, we're talking about Don Nelson, who unearthed Sprewell in the 20s, found Sidney Moncrief, Terry Cummings, Mitch Richmond in the same draft for Dallas, added Steve Nash and Dirk Nowitzki.
Tim Hardaway too, right? I think
Tim Hardaway at 14, Sprewell at 26. Nelly had an incredible eye for talent.
I got to book these guys on Golden Days. I got to get both of them on the show just to get some information, because those are amazing stories, and I'd love to hear it from the mouth itself. So I'm going to try to make that happen.
Riley is now known as the guy who drafted Steph. I mean, literally at the top of his Wikipedia, it's like Larry Riley, and like the next line is like drafted Steph Curry.
Yep.
And you know what? Don Nelson is smoking blunts in Maui playing cards with Willie Nelson. He could give a crap whether Larry Riley or himself get credit. But if you really had Larry Riley here and you went through, he would tell you that Nelly had an unbelievable conviction in Steph Curry, and that conviction had a lot to do with Larry Riley pulling the trigger. Riley had the job. Riley had the finger on the pulse. Riley was the guy with the nameplate that said, he's the guy that turned in the card. He's the guy that had, But Nelly, let's not pretend that Don Nelson, who was a genius, you could make an argument that Don Nelson, the general manager, is more skilled than Don Nelson, the coach. And Don Nelson is one of the greatest coaches in the history of basketball.
And remember, his son was the GM for the Mavericks, who I think won the title. So there's something going on there.
Nelly, and people always crap on Nelly. He never won a ring. His team got to the finals the next year. Didn't they win with Avery Johnson?
Yeah, he was awesome. Nelly was
Don Nelson's team went to two finals. And I mean, he took good teams and made them. He took bad teams and made them good.
And not
he
to
never
mention,
really Larry, took a good team and made him great. But the We Believe, where do you think that came from?
Exactly.
That's Nelly.
And his small ball philosophy was so ahead of its time. Like, I love Nelly.
He's a genius.
He absolutely deserves it.
He's the guy who hired Greg Popovich.
Yes,
there
he
is
did.
No Popovich without Nelly.
Yes, he did. Absolutely. Yeah. No, you're
right. There's no Gary St. Jean without Nelly.
Great call there.
Nelly. Nelly's a basketball savant, man. You know, Don Nelson's personnel evaluation skills are, you know, unassailable. I mean,
I got to interview him now. This conversation is making me thirst for Don Nelson on Golden Days. I interviewed him once back in my KNBR days, where they'd send the producers over to media day. And, you know, I do all these interviews. I could say, hey, Monte Ellis, if you can read this in a huge if. True story. Can you read the script that says you're listening to the Larry Kruger Show? So I had these scripts for Don Nelson, and he was the nicest dude. He always smoked stogies. The dude loved his cigars. And I just wanted to say he was the nicest guy ever. So I got to interview.
Fish ties, and Nelly was a great coach. I mean, he's one of the greatest coaches of all time. But he's also an unbelievable personnel guy. I mean, seriously. Think about it. You're in Dallas. You're introducing your draft picks, and you're introducing Steve Nash and Dirk Nowitzki. They're both Hall of Famers. He got both those guys in the same draft. They had one press conference with Dirk and Nash. Dirk and Nash. I mean, it's incredible. Unbelievable.
By the way, Larry, this is how awesome it is when you and I work together. But we're at an hour 10. I want to quickly plug, because I got to run here in just a second, because Rick Barry and I were hosting a new episode of The Rick Barry Show at 2.
No
which
problem.
Is for today's episode, for today is particularly intriguing, because I don't know if you've heard this. There is one source out there, one, who wrote something very interesting, which I want to bring up with Rick today, which is that Brent Barry is supposedly leaving the San Antonio Spurs. He's stepping away. So I'm going to ask Rick today if there's any truth to that rumor. The Warriors wanted Brent Barry a few years back for the position that went to Mike Dunleavy Jr. That was the genesis for the whole idea of Brent Barry coming to the Warriors. That's why I bring it up, because I love the idea and want him. So I'm going to talk to Rick about that. And also, I'm going to go back in history with Rick, because I never knew this until recently, but I saw a story the other day that explained why the Lakers, and this is crazy, took away Jerry West's season tickets because of a long-running feud between him and Phil Jackson.
It was Jeannie Buss yanked Jerry West's tickets because Jerry was critical over Jeannie's relationship with Phil.
Correct. And that's but supposedly there's a longer history to that between Jerry and Phil Jackson. Because Jerry West left the Lakers a year after Phil came. That is trippy to me, man. I don't know if that interests you at all in terms of a fascinating storyline.
Oh, I'd love to hear Rick's comments on it.
I'm going to pick his brain for that. And before we go, do you mind, just because I promised the Golden Days audience this, do you mind if we quickly read off who the available free agents are from the Southwest Division of the Western Conference? Do you mind if we go through that real fast? And
no, not at all.
If any of these names intrigue you?
By the way, we have one super here from Han Solo Dolo, who says Warriors need to target Denny Avdia, Lonzo Ball, Kelly Oubre, Jonas Valanciunas, Brandon Carlson. They need to make these moves. Just on that list, one, Avdia, big fan of him. He came on last year. Ball's got chronic injuries.
He's never
probably
played again. He may never play again.
Yeah. Oubre, pass. Valanciunas, I would be very interested in, but he's not a skilled player. He's more of a big man. He's a true old school big man, like from the 80s. And then Brandon Carlson, we've already talked about. I like Carlson. I like Valanciunas. I like Avdia. Lonzo, crushing injuries, probably never going to play again.
Yeah.
And he'll only be dealt for cap reasons to make contracts work. Oubre, no. Oubre, you know.
I'll say this about Oubre. If Oubre, if it ever gets to the point where he understands his role and he understands the idea of a team concept, which is lost on him a lot, unfortunately, he's got the physical tools and he's a specimen. He can play, but his shooting is inconsistent and he sometimes does this hero ball thing. I don't hate the idea of Oubre, but I'm not going to sit here and advocate for it either. I just wanted to add that 2 cents. Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, I mean, nothing against Oubre, but it just, it didn't work out last time.
Yeah. I'm not advocating it. So here are the five teams in the Southwest division and which players courtesy of SpotTrack will be available. I'll start with the San Antonio Spurs, who have just one name, small forward CD Osman, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly. Any thoughts on Osman?
No, I mean, I know who he is. You know, he was with the Cavs for a while, I think. And now he's there, you know, just a swing man off the bench, can do some things. 12th player, you know, on the roster, 13th player.
Yeah, nothing exciting.
Nothing
exciting. The Spurs have nothing to offer. So we go on to the Memphis Grizzlies. This is an interesting one. Luke Kennard has a team option for $14.8 million. I'm hearing his name mentioned a lot in trades, which means it's likely going to be a sign. I guess you could exercise the last year and trade him. So Luke Kennard could be available for a trade, not so much free agency. Yuta Watanabe.
He can shoot. I mean, Kennard can shoot the ball.
Lethal.
But yes. I don't like him on D. And to me, he's not my favorite. He wouldn't be my favorite. I think
I'm totally with you. And I'm not
defensive limitations bother me.
Big time. And I'm not listing these names in terms of them being Warriors favorites. I'm just listing every name that potentially is available. Yuta Watanabe has a player option for $2.7 million, which he likely will not exercise. Although I don't know what he thinks. But
I mean, I he's an interesting player. He's 6'8". He's got athleticism. He can run up and down. I don't know. I don't see a defined strength in his game. Like,
yeah,
same. The handle, the shot, the rebounding, the defense, it's all kind of mediocre. He's another good attitude, hustling, versatile guy who can guard multiple positions, but none of them spectacularly. He's a bottom of the roster kind of a guy.
Totally with you. And so Memphis doesn't have much out there that excites, that moves the needle. The last free agent, and this is an unrestricted free agent, Lamar Stevens will be available. But again, nothing that moves the needle there. Any last thoughts on Memphis, Larry, before we move on?
No. I mean, the one guy that I think is intriguing from Memphis is the guy that people are trying to steal from Memphis, and that's Marcus Smart. Just because Marcus Smart's a great defensive player, he's also, he's tough. He's a really tough guy, and so there's a lot of teams that would like to pick him off. And I would love to see Marcus Smart with the Warriors. I just think he's a winner. He makes big plays. He doesn't shoot a great percentage, but man, he hits big shots in big games. And we all know he can lock up twos, threes, and fours, or you know, ones, twos, and threes, or whatever. I mean, he's a pretty damn good defender on the ball. So I'm a big Marcus Smart fan. I would absolutely, if I have a team and I'm trying to win a championship and I'm looking for bench players and role players, I want Marcus Smart. But I mean, he's not a free agent, but he is readily available in trade.
And whose feelings are mightily hurt that his Celtics won the title without him. So the Houston Rockets, who on a side note, a lot of rumors out there about them potentially pursuing Kevin Durant. But I'm going to just run through these names real fast.
Yeah, what do you got?
There's five of them here. Two of them have team options. I'll start with these two first. The ageless wonder Jeff Green has a team option of $8 million. I don't know if the Rockets will exercise that. And then Jayshon Tate has a team option of $7.6 million.
He's a big point guard. He's younger, so that's nice. But and the Warriors may want a bigger point guard, as a backup to Steph. But don't love Jayshon Tate either because I don't love his shooting. But he's a good sized guard who can handle.
By the way, an interesting comment in the chat from Butthead saying, I wonder if Larry knows women's beach volleyball too. I'm fascinated by that.
I'm a big fan of Tara. She comes from Orange County. She played amateur volleyball at Cuesta. And then transferred to Santa Barbara Community where she now. Could you imagine?
She's 6'1", so she's got good height for sets and slams.
I like her as a setter, but I don't like her as a spiker. And I've always said that. And in fact, I'm doing a video about that this afternoon.
And then three names for as unrestricted free agents from the Rockets: Reggie Bullock, Boban Marjanovic, and Aaron Holiday. Any thoughts on those three?
Well, Boban Marjanovic is like a guy who should show up at like the carnival, and like, you know, it's like, you know, he's like a Guinness Book of World Records kind of a guy. I mean, he's just like, he's not even a basketball player. He's more like a halftime entertainment. Hey, everybody, come to the mezzanine level and watch Boban walk around. I mean, you'll never see somebody this big. So he's not even real. Bullock is a really good shooter. Bullock is a 6'7" sniper. Now, he can't put it on the deck. He can't guard anybody. He can't do anything. But if you're looking for just a court stretching guy with major range, I mean, he's a 6'7" guy who can shoot the three ball at a 40% clip. So he's intriguing. What was the last name?
Already close it out. Sorry. Let me get it.
So not Boban, no, but the.
But just Bullock. To add real fast while I find this again real quickly. Reggie Bullock, if he's available for the veteran minimum, sign me up. I'm totally with you, but I wouldn't spend more money. He can shoot and he can defend too. He's not a small dude. And then Aaron Holiday was the third player.
Yeah, I like Aaron Holiday. This is, you know, the Holiday brothers. Drew, the Warriors had Justin. Correct. This is the brother who played in Indiana, Aaron. I like Aaron Holiday. I think he's a good backup point guard. I think he's got good handle. He had a couple games against the Warriors in the past that were very good games. You could look it up, but I like Aaron Holiday. Yeah, I'd be interested in Aaron Holiday.
Good call. We move on to the New Orleans Pelicans, who have five names here. Unrestricted free agents. So we've talked about him a lot. Jonas Valanciunas, Cody Zeller, another interesting name, maybe a desperate backup big, and then Najee Marshall. Any thoughts on those three unrestricted free agents?
Well, I mean, Cody Zeller was really good in college at Indiana. Correct. And, you know, I don't know if I, you know, it's hard. He's a hard guy to watch because he's just, you know, he's just. He's bald and he's really pasty. So it's like he's a really, you're watching this guy and you're like, God, you know, he's just
he fails the aesthetics test.
He just looks bad out there. He's just a gigantic white-headed bald guy. You know, it's like
he's one of these guys that like he doesn't shave the head either. So it's like
he's got the monk look going. It's just a bad look. But he is a very athletic 6'10", 6'11" guy.
Seven.
I mean, he can run the floor. He can finish. He's got a bad set of hair. He's got bad hair. But you know, beyond that though, I kind of like him.
Who's the guy that played for the Warriors all the in the
Brian Cardinal?
Thank you.
The custodian. I do like Zeller. Who are the other two?
Valanciunas and Najee Marshall.
Don't have tons to say about Najee Marshall, but Valanciunas is a gigantic, strong interior player who doesn't have, you know, he's not your stretch five. He's not a perimeter shooter. He's more of a body banger. He's an old school 80s big man, but he's strong. He's tough. He's pretty smart. He's good in the half court. I mean, you could do worse. You could do a whole lot worse than Valanciunas.
100%. I wouldn't mind him on the Warriors, honestly, man. And then real fast, Jose Alvarado has a team option, which the Pelicans will certainly exercise. And Jeremiah Robinson Earl also has a team option. Not much of an opinion.
Well, Alvarado, I mean, you saw the game late in the year against New Orleans. Alvarado is good. Alvarado can play.
They're not letting him go, though. He won't be available.
Yeah, I mean, he's a off-the-bench guard. He's good. Alvarado
is Chris Paul's kryptonite, man. The dude can like Chris Paul hates when that guy's guarding him. It's interesting.
I think Alvarado is worth having for sure.
And last team, yeah. And we're done. The Dallas Mavericks, the reigning Western Conference champions, have two names. One of them not that exciting, Markieff Morris. Your thoughts?
He's the bigger of the Morris twins. There's Marcus Morris and Markieff Morris. Marcus is 6'8". This guy's 6'10". He's a big body. He's a rebounder. You could do worse. The thing about it, he was good at Kansas. I don't know that the Morris twins have come into the league and improved dramatically. I guess Marcus has had his moments. I've always kind of liked Markieff a little bit more than Marcus. Marcus was more of a scorer. Markieff was more of a defender, rebounder. But Yeah, I don't love him. I don't love him, but he's all right.
Great call. And by the way, real fast, I'm hitting the refresh button on the Paul George news. Nothing yet coming down the wire there. So, and then last team, the Dallas Mavericks. Sorry, we already started on that. Markieff Morris. And the last name I'm going to throw out at you, which is a name I like a lot. I don't know if he's going to be in the Warriors price range, but the mid-level exception is close to $13 million that the Warriors will have at their disposal if Klay Thompson does not re-sign. That's another interesting caveat to keep in mind when we talk about Klay, and that's Derrick Jones Jr. I like this kid. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, he's a crazy dunker. I mean, if you like dunks, you like Derrick Jones. And he's 6'8". He's got kind of a two-guards game. I like Derrick Jones. I liked him too. In college. And didn't he play at Vegas? I think he played for UNLV.
Good question. I don't.
But yeah, Derrick Jones is a dunker, man. I mean, he's 6'8 with major hops, and he can finish.
Yes, correct. UNLV. Good call.
Yeah, Vegas. Yeah. I've liked him for years. I mean, now he's probably closer to 30 now, right?
27. Been in the league a few years. That's why he's still pretty young. He's only 27. So.
Yeah, I did Derrick Jones.
I would too.
Warrior Media says, sign me up for Derrick Jones Jr.
Me too. Yeah, and that's the Southwest division for you. And at least on Golden Days, I'll cover the final two divisions in the next 2 days. Larry, let's do this every week. Right? We got to do this every week, man. This is too much.
We absolutely will. That's going to do it for us. Good luck to the Warriors tonight. If I could trade Wiggins for Caris LeVert and the 20th pick, I would do it. I would take Baylor Shireman. If you could get Baylor Shireman and Caris LeVert for Wiggins, that... You know, that's a great trade. So I'm very intrigued by that one. The other trade as well. I'm intrigued by Paul George. I wouldn't mind Paul George. I think Paul George would be nice. I'm all for Moody. If you can get Paul George for some combination of Moody, Chris Paul, Kevon, Peyton. You know, I do love Peyton, but if you can make the Paul George addition without moving Kuminga, I'm all in.
We're on the same page, brother. I'm totally with you. Love you, man. This was fun.
And John Holmes, not that John Holmes, says, please trade.
I'm glad you said that, by the way, because every time I see John in my chat, I'm always like, porn star? What?
John Holmes says, go deep. All right, that's going to do it. Thanks to Pig and a Pickle for being the title sponsor of the Krug Show. Cy, tell people once again where they can find your channel, the name of it, because it's not on the screen. Let people know where they want to check out your channel.
And again, Golden Days is the name of the show. Easy to find on the podcast side of things. Add the word Warriors to it if you're having a hard time finding it. But it's Golden Days is the program. Follow me on Threads and Instagram at Dog Wild. I'm back on Twitter just to post links for the show. That place is a cesspool. I don't know how you do it, Larry, but I'm on Twitter at Surf Journalist. That's the handle I've been saving with my, in case I ever came back. So I'm back. But Larry, man, again, love you. This was fun. The fact that we went an hour and a half, didn't feel like an hour and a half, tells you that this is good content. And thank you, everyone. Thank you.
Go Warriors. Baylor Shireman. Peace.
Yeah, never met a man I've been scared of. Careful, you won't get exactly what you asked.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, didn't see that coming, and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.